Okay, and then one of our final ones that we cover is proof from experience. So how does our experience inform from our classical approach the truth of Christianity? Classical apologists do not build their case from theism primarily on religious experience. However, they recognize that the Christian faith does not call people merely to believe that God exists, but rather to experience a personal relationship with God. Thus, if theism is to be defended as a more than academic theory, it is necessary to defend the fidelity and rationality of religious experience. For this reason, classical apologists take pains to argue that it is rational to believe that people can have experiences of God and that these experiences can result in immediate knowledge of God. And so, you know, if you're talking about your miracles, if you're talking about your near-death experiences, those things can be logically based as well as evidentially based as well.
Right. And so they give us an example here of Geisler again, right, in his book, Philosophy of Religion. He offers three main arguments in defense of religious experience. The first one is that religious experience is unique, right? And that it differs radically from moral or, for instance, aesthetic types of experience. So religious experience is different than other kinds of experience, moral experiences and such. So first, religious experience is unique.
Right. Well, and then second, the religious impulse, if not religious experience per se, is universal. Classical apologists contend that the universality of religious experience across centuries and cultures points to a basic human drive towards self-transcendence. Now, near-death experience tends to be more kind of in the evidential camp, but this kind of universality of time, culture, and different types of experiences when it comes to near-death experience has caused people to study it as a thing of history, as scientific study point, and trying to conclude whether or not these experiences are true. But this kind of universal nature across both time and culture seems to bolster the claims that NDEs are a thing that is happening to us. And so scientists and philosophers can disagree, you know, whether it's chemicals released from the body that we're all experiencing, or it is some type of kind of universal concept that points back to religion. But something is happening, and so the classical model could focus in on this. Well, classical Christians apologists affirm that to be real, this transcendental urge must be more than just a subjective progression or wish fulfillment. It must have objective and independent basis in something. So, you know, you interview the woman, she was dead on the table, she floated above her body, she reported, and she reported that a child's drawing was on top of the cabinet that no one could see. She falls back into her body, she recovers, and she tells the doctors about this. They say, no, absolutely not. There's no way that picture is there. Get a ladder, go up, and sure enough, there's the picture. Okay, there's something objective and independent based on that. It's not just, you know, oh, I felt like I was floating. There's something objective there, and we do have those types of experiences recorded.
All right, good. So first, religious experience then is unique, right? It's different from other kinds of experience. Secondly, it's universal, right? It's been across cultures and centuries and that sort of thing. And then thirdly, they argue that religious experience is too ubiquitous to be explained away, right? So it's everywhere, it's ubiquitous. Geisler reasons that the evidential value of religious experience can only be discounted by making the radical claim that every person in the history of the world who claimed to have a religious experience has been totally deceived. There. And, you know, obviously this would be an erroneous and onerous claim to prove. And so the conclusion that some reality exists that corresponds to the universal need for transcendence then still stands. And thus, notice there must be a basis in reality for at least some religious experience. In fact, For if even one religious person is right about the reality of the transcendence, then there really is a transcendence, right? So we have, it's universal, it's ubiquitous, and it is, unique, and therefore it's something that we can't dismiss is right. The idea here.
Right. Right. And you know, the other side can say, well, you know, even Muslims have religious experience, even Buddhists have this kind of universality of experiencing a period outside their body. Okay, you know, let's grant that fact. But now we're having a conversation within a smaller subset to say, all right, things are happening and we have to explain them. So again, the classical model gives us a place to sit at the table and talk about these type of experiences, and whether or not they can all be explained away with a swipe of a hand would be difficult, but it's something that that has to give us pause, that offers an explanation to, just like how we can't discount the planet wanderers out there in our spherical model for geocentrism. There might be a case where sure enough, those out of body experiences could point to the existence that God is real. Now, what God is that? We're now on to a different question, but we're just talking about the facts of religious experiences. All right. Well, finally, in his debate with atheists, William Lane Craig routinely ends his opening statements by affirming that human beings cannot only know about God's existence, but can also know God by experience. However, he cautions this isn't really an argument for God's existence. Rather, it is a claim that you can know that God exists wholly apart from arguments, simply by immediately experiencing him. From those who listen, God becomes an immediate reality in their lives. His purpose in citing the experience of God, then, is not to hold forth my experience as evidence to others of God's existence, but invite others to experience God. So again, if you watched Stephen, I'm going to blank on his name, Stephen Myers on the Joe Rogan Experience. And Joe Rogan asked him about why he was a Christian personally. And Stephen Myers, who wants to talk about kind of creationism or intelligent design, routinely said that he had a personal religious experience, but wouldn't hold those experiences up to people as reasons why to believe, but there are reasons why he does believe. And so if you want to kind of see what Craig is talking about in this type of setting of not a debate, but a conversation, that was a good episode that Stephen Myers, who I always enjoy listening to, was a part of there.
Yeah, good.